Are you a dentist who's striving to build a more thriving, profitable practice without feeling overwhelmed by the numbers? Hey, good news, there is a better way. The Academy of Dental CPA member firms know dentistry. In fact, it's all they do. Our members are experienced CPA firms who specialize exclusively in serving dentists across every stage of ownership, from startups to acquisitions, to optimizing associate income, to advanced tax strategy, practice growth, and transitions. We're here to support your financial success. When you work with an ADCPA member, you get more than a tax preparer. You get a strategic partner, someone who understands dental industry benchmarks, overhead management, collections, dental insurance, compensation models, and all the unique business challenges you face every single day. We bring clarity to the business side of dentistry. While you focus on clinical excellence, we ensure your financial foundation remains strong with advisory that turns data into confident decisions. Join over 11,000 dentists nationwide who have a financial expert in their corner. Visit adcpa.org to find a trusted dental CPA near you. That's adcpa.org, because your numbers should work as hard as you do.
This podcast is sponsored by Bank of America Practice Solutions. When you need financing for your dental practice, you really want to work with someone who fully understands your industry. For over 25 years, Bank of America Practice Solutions has helped dentists across the nation reach their goals through smart financial solutions and expert guidance. Whether you own a practice or are just getting started, Bank of America Practice Solutions can provide customized financial help for your short-term needs and long-term aspirations. Email dg.connect@bofa.com to find expert guidance, personal attention, and real solutions. That's dg.connect@bofa.com. Everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman. I'm your host, Art Wiederman. Thank you for joining us today. I want to remind everybody to like us on all the social media outlets, like us on Facebook, like us on Instagram, like us on YouTube, like us with your family, like us with your friends, like us with whoever you like, but just please like us. We really appreciate it. I want to share that today's episode is sponsored by Bank of America Practice Solutions. It's sponsored by the Academy of Dental CPAs, which in this podcast is the official podcast of the Academy of Dental CPAs, and it is sponsored by Interview. And today, my guest is one of my dear friends in dentistry and just one of the really, really classy, outstanding humans that I get to interact with. For years, I've taught people about, you know, their numbers and their accounting as a dental CPA, but I would always talk to them about their practices. And I would say, doctors, do not, when you go to a dental convention, do not go to courses on occlusion or TMJ. You know about all of that. Go to courses on how to lead a team and how to communicate with people. And Catherine Eitel-Belt is the premier, as far as I'm concerned, consultant, not only nationally, but internationally. Her company, Lionspeak, has consulted, and Catherine has spoken to thousands of dentists all over the country, all over the world, the United Kingdom. She's a best-selling author, and we're going to talk about how to lead a team. What is a team? Communications. She coins a term, courageous communication. We're going to talk about that today. Catherine, welcome to the Art of Dental Finance and Management.
Well, thank you for having me, Art. This is a fun, you know, exercise in meeting your friends and doing business at the same time. So thanks for having me. And what a beautiful introduction. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're very kind. And we had some fun this past weekend. We're recording this in mid-January of 2026. Hard to believe it's mid-January. And you and I got to spend a couple of days together at the Speaking and Consulting Network meeting. You presented. Yes. And it was funny, I was putting together this whole list of questions. I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm going to see Catherine present. I just need to listen to her and she's going to give me my outline, which is what you pretty much did. But isn't that a great group that we're a part of?
It really is. I'm a founding member and they're celebrating 30 years this summer. So, you know, I love that organization and I'm, you know, excited to be involved still to this day. It's been a great help to my career. Yeah.
Yeah. And I understand that you have a new book coming out.
I do. We're hoping late spring, early fall, we're down to two titles and trying to narrow that down. But as soon as we land on the title, then that'll go into pre-order status. So we're excited, but it really centers around our core content and our core training. And that is helping leaders, managers, owners, directors to have leadership conversations that resolve conflict, hold standards, hold boundaries, raise people up, and improve the relationships all at the same time.
I mean, that is critical. Everything in the professions, whether you're a CPA, whether you're a dentist, whether you're a physician, or whether you're an attorney, is all about communication. It's all about gaining trust. And we're going to talk about all of that today because there is nobody I know that is better than teaching communications and leadership. I know that that's what you are really focusing on. We talked about that up in Walnut Creek. First, tell us a little bit about your professional journey. How did you get to be Lion Speak and where you are today?
Well, I'll give you the short version, but I think it's very applicable to what we're going to talk about. I started as a chairside dental assistant. I wasn't very good, and I didn't love dentistry at all. I didn't like dentistry. It was just a job at 19 to put gas in my little Chevette and figure out what I was going to do with my life. And the doctor I was working for after some months was kind of fed up with this sort of underproducing young woman. And so he took me aside one night and had what I would look back on to be my first courageous conversation. And, you know, he would tell you today he's not a great leader, but I'll tell you he surely led me. And really the elements of that conversation are what we teach today. He took responsibility for the breakdown in our relationship. He invited me into a bigger, better story. He told me he had zero doubt that I could do it and that he wanted me to do it. What he couldn't answer was whether I wanted to do it and whether I would. And so he sent me home with my final paycheck and told me that my job was done. He was no longer going to work with dental assistants ever again in his career. And so he was essentially, quote unquote, laying me off. What he also followed up with was that starting the next morning, he would be interviewing for a new position. And the new position, he had a new title, new pay scale, new job description, and he called it a dental colleague. He said, I want dental colleagues on the other side of the chair.
Dental colleague.
Yeah. And he described it as someone who loves dentistry as much as I do and is as excited about what we have the capacity to do for our patients as I am. And someone that I'm not pushing to go to courses. They're pushing me to send them to courses. I want someone who wants to learn, doesn't mind staying a few minutes into lunch or at the end of the day to collaborate and talk about models and cases and, you know, learn how to interface with specialists in the lab. And so, you know, this was back in the mid-80s, early 80s. And so, you know, I just don't think anyone had ever said, Catherine, my bar is here. And I'm not going to lower it anymore for you or anyone else. I'd rather work alone than lower my bar. So I have no doubt you're smart enough and capable enough to reach the bar. You have to decide if you want to. And if you want to, and you walk across this threshold tomorrow, then you are stepping into an entirely new job and an entirely new set of expectations. And you will be pushed. You will be coached. You will be held to some high expectations. And so go home and sleep on this and think hard about it. And I did show back up for the interview and I did get the job. And we worked together for many years. And I contend I'd still be working there today because through him, I fell in love with dentistry, what we have the capabilities to do. And it launched a 45-year career that, you know, I couldn't see coming, but he did. And he was an amazing leader. And so, you know, I always say, you know, because many years later, he came to one of my speeches and he heard me tell this story. And he came up to me at the break and he said, I cannot believe you told that story. And I said, is it okay? And he goes, well, it's okay. But he seriously said to me, Art, I don't remember it being that big of a deal. And I said, well, it might not have been a big deal for you, but for this 19-year-old sort of brain dead dental assistant, it was a huge transformation. And I contend, Art, that leaders are out there every day having conversations. patients that they don't see it as a big deal. But 45 years from now, the person on the other end of that conversation is going to be talking about it and thinking about it for better or worse.
You told the story in Walnut Creek, and I love hearing it a second time. The word mentor jumps into my head. Was this gentleman your mentor? Everybody should have a mentor.
Well, one of many, right? He was a mentor in how to become a high-level dental professional that people would want. And I remember going to a study club where I overheard him, I overheard another colleague of his say, "How do we find a Catherine?" And his answer was, "You don't find them, you build them." And that has
become... You took one of my questions. We're going to talk about that. I promise.
Yeah, that's become a through line because I think that's more...
I love that.
Me too. And it really is an important idea in this tight labor market that we're in because you can't find them as easily as we could 10, 15 years ago.
You can't.
Or before COVID, for sure. And so our task with building, you know, these great employees.
Let's jump into this. I mean, I've known you for many years and you're the cornerstone of what you teach centers around, among other things, courageous conversations. And you describe them as a major part of a productive, positive work culture and involves compassion, accountability, non-judgment, and accuracy. Okay, so that's a mouthful, but you know all about courageous conversations. What is a courageous conversation? Why is it important for people to master them?
Well, at its core, a courageous conversation is speaking a truth that needs to be spoken in a way that doesn't project any judgment about what the other person will do with this truth, respects that they have a choice, that it isn't blaming them entirely, at least, for the disconnect or the breakdown or the conflict, and that we are delivering this with all the love in our heart and all the kindness in our soul and drawing a line and holding a boundary and having a high expectation and not apologizing for it, not even feeling the need to justify it necessarily. And so courageous conversations are the final conversations in what we call the leadership conversation trifecta. And the leadership conversation trifecta are three conversations and they're a hierarchy. So the first one is an invitation conversation, and that's where we help owners or the proxy of an owner, if it's a larger organization, to deliver a conversation to the company, to the people who work for that company, inviting them in to a bigger, better future, inviting them in to a vision of the future, come join us in building this thing, getting somewhere different than where we are. And it also invites them to meet a set of very high standards. I say often that not only are dental practices not holding their current standards, most of them need to raise their standards
about... I agree.
Cultural behaviors and cultural expectations. I think families are the same way, neighborhoods, organizations. So the good news is people don't get better at these conversations at work and not get better in their personal lives. So that's kind of the nice side benefit. But at any rate, that's the first conversation in the trifecta. The second one is once you've issued this invitation and people have said, yes, I'm in, then those who are in for the work, for the coaching, for the push, for the, you know, trek to this vision, then now they could want to be a part of it, but not know how to contribute at a high level.
They need some training.
So the next conversation or series of conversations are coaching conversations. And those are very different than supervisory conversations. So we teach the difference and we teach people how to become an internal coach for their people. A lot of managers are, if you ask them, what are the top 1, 2, 3 priorities of your job as an office manager or as a clinical manager or something like that, they will often tell you things related, in my opinion, to HR. I need to manage vacation schedules. I need to make sure we have coverage every day on the floor. I need to make sure if my people have a question that I can get them the answer. I need to make sure all the supplies are stocked. They're these very tactical HR related kinds of things. And I couldn't disagree more. There are people who need to be in charge of those things, but you can train a low-level person to do those kinds of things. If you want to pay someone to be a manager, a leader, then train them to coach. Because what most dentists, owners, are disappointed, and even practice administrators or practice managers that have maybe there's a clinical lead and a hygiene lead and a, you know, they're often disappointed because those leaders are not growing their people. They're just making sure their people show up and that there's coverage. They're not growing them. And so that's a very different objective for a position than just managing or supervising.
And Catherine, it doesn't mean that they have bad people. It just means that nobody, when you go to college, you take science classes and you take math classes and you take history classes. You don't generally take leadership or communication classes and how to work in a business and how to talk to people. And I think it's as well as being, we've got to get our patients to trust us. We've got to get our team to trust that they work in a safe environment, that if they have opinions, they can give it, right?
100%. And you know, what's interesting about this idea of coaching is that if you ask dentists, owner dentists, if they have a manager or if they don't, if they want to, a lot of them have a negative response. They'll say, oh, this is the worst thing I ever did, or I'd rather, it just created more problems than it solved, you know? And I contend that is because we tapped our best administrator, we tapped our best assistant, we tapped our best hygienist on the shoulder and said, hey, you're really, really, really good at your job. Will you manage that department? So the owner is thinking, will you create more of you, right? Will you help them be you because you're good? But they never gave them training and the skills they needed to be a good hygienist, the skills they needed to be a good office administrator are not the same skills as it takes to coach people to that level. And so that's what we're saying is you actually build a team of superstars by first getting a team of superstar managers, superstar internal coaches. And that's exactly what we help. So that's the second in that trifecta. And then courageous conversations comes in when you've coached and they're either still not doing it or they are trying to do it, but they're still not getting the results that you need or want. And so then that requires a more confrontational conversation. We want to be able to say those things that need to be said and hold people to those high standards and make sure they're clear that that's a non-negotiable without destroying the relationship or tearing down the other human on the other end. I mean, that's what my boss did with me. He spoke very differently to me as a human being as he did to the behavior I was exhibiting. Those are very different things.
It can't be personal. I can't tell you how many times I have heard about in a dental office where the doctor says, you're a terrible assistant and you don't know how to talk to people. And that is just like the absolute wrong way to do this. If you want to affect change in a human being, you've got to be compassionate, right? And you've got to be understanding and you've got to say, these are the expectations that we have of you in our practice. And these are some of the things we'd like to have you work on. Let's talk about them, right? Not instead of being, I mean, how many doctors have you heard that yell and scream and they have to be right? And that destroys a team, right?
It does. I want to be clear, though, there is no place for raising your voice, yelling, screaming, calling names. There is none of that. That will get you nowhere. Actually, it will get you in a negative position, right? If not sued. But I want to be clear that I am not soft. I do not believe we should tolerate things we don't like or want if we own a business. I own my own business. I have worked for several businesses as an employee. And when I did that, what I'm essentially doing, if I'm a really high-level professional, is understanding that I have signed up to help someone else achieve their vision, not mine. And the best I can do is find someone with a vision that I align with, right? That I personally align with as a professional. I align with their values. I align with their cultural standards. Like they expect people to be on time, if not early to work, because they are, and they enjoy that. And that's what they expect. And they make it clear. And if I like that, and I like others around me to behave that way, then that's a good alignment, right? So my job is only to find the opportunity that aligns with my own professional values and career path. An owner.
So we need to create a culture that we have the leadership. So we're going to talk a little more about that. One of my favorite sayings of yours, and I heard this many, many years ago, and I use it to this day with other people, is I can handle just about anything, but I can't deal with unreasonable. I use that all the time personally. If I have to give you like $5 every time I do it, I'll keep track, I promise. Okay? But talk about that. Talk about unreasonable.
Well, I couldn't wait to hear what the phrase was. And so that's interesting that really stuck with you. Where we use that is, so how we teach, I have a certification in adult learning theory. And what that allows me to do is teach in a way that isn't just lecture. We quickly move from lecture to demonstration, and from demonstration to practice, and from practice to application. That's the journey very quickly when we train. And therefore, I believe we get really more immediate and deeper, longer lasting results. So one of the pieces of that is demonstration. And so what I want to show professional communicators in a leadership position is that I want to demonstrate for them, once I've taught the process about how to have these conversations, I want to demonstrate it in real life. So you saw me do a demonstration where I took a volunteer from the room. He happened to be an oral surgeon. He volunteered. He comes up. He tells me about the situation. And then I step into his voice as if I was him, and I ask him to be the other person. Right. And so I'm able then to demonstrate what I've just taught so that they can see. What I want them to do is trust this simple framework. I want them to trust that they can be authentically who they are. They do not have to sound like a robot. They can be truthful about their request or about resolving this conflict.
Conflict, yeah.
Truthful about it. They can also be kind, and they can still hold their ground. And I want to show that. So I demonstrated it. But to make sure the demonstrations went well, that's where I first used that line, was to say to this oral surgeon, you can act however you think this person would act. I don't want you to be super nice to me. I want you to be real. If you think that other person would be passive aggressive, then be a little passive aggressive. If you think they would be negative, then be a little negative. Be negative Nelly. If you think they're going to be defensive, then be defensive, right? Because I want the audience and this person to see that my framework will help them regardless of how this person shows up. But there is one thing the framework will not help you with, and that is if the person is absolutely unreasonable. If people are unreasonable on the freeway, at work, at home, around your dinner table, there is no courageous conversation framework that's going to save that conversation, right? An unreasonable person. A person wouldn't give you a reasonable answer even if they had a little attitude, right?
Right.
So I don't mind attitude. I can ignore it. I can address it. I can do things with it. But if someone just says, nope, not doing it. Nope, not doing it. Nope. Right? It's just not reasonable. And so I would, in real life, walk away from that conversation and say, this seems unreasonable. When you're ready to be reasonable, we can come back to this conversation. But until then, there's no reason to be here, you see? So that's where you heard that, is like, have a line that says, there's a limit. Yeah.
And that's respect. And you can do that respectfully, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you can say, listen, this is not working. This is not reasonable. I need to walk away. We need to revisit this at another time. And it may be that at that point, you are going to part ways with that team member, or you're going to part ways with that vendor or that patient. It could be anything. So
absolutely. I've parted ways with employees. I've parted ways with clients. I've parted ways with audience members. Not often, thank goodness, but I have.
And, I did it once.
And what I want to feel good about is that I did it in a way that I honored they had a right to feel however they felt. I honored that they had a right to value whatever they value without any judgment from me. And I also have a right to have a boundary. I have a right to a certain level of respect. I have a right to expect certain things from people who work for me or live with me or, you know, do business with me. And so really all we're looking for are people that align with those things. And all of our conversations, this just occurred to me. I'm going to write an article about this. Our conversations are really at their core about discerning the level of alignment here and discerning, can we get in better alignment or are we never going to get in better alignment and we have to make some different decisions, right? But if you don't have judgment around it, then you don't ruin the relationship.
I mean, I'm going to make a football analogy because I'm required by law to talk sports because that's all I really care about, right? Right now, as we talk, coming up on Monday is the national championship football game between Indiana and Miami. And Kurt Cignetti is probably the poster child of leadership.
He is.
I mean, it's
no doubt
every
about it.
One of his players that you listen to. They talk about team. They talk about mission. They talk about vision. They talk about goals. And that's what we need in the dental office. It's safe. Yeah. So let's talk about team for a second, Catherine.
Okay,
you gave us a definition. I'm going to break it into the three pieces. First definition starts out like this. A team is a collection of different humans working towards one goal with shared effort and mutual hype. I want to hear the hype part. What does this mean?
Well, so we always say great communicators communicate two things at their core. They communicate clarity about whatever they're talking about versus confusion. And they also balance the clarity with inspiration. So my mother was very clear. I had a great mother growing up. And if she were here, she would agree with me. She had no trouble with clarity. You'd never walked away from a conversation with my mother unsure what she was asking of you. But I often walked away a little less than inspired to take a step in that direction. I have also, conversely, been around people who were very inspirational, very motivational, very positive. I mean, I've been to conferences where I didn't even need a plane to fly home. I was so high on the hype, right? But I got home and it was like, I'm all inspired and motivated, but what is my next step? What do I do, right? And so you can see where you could be inspirational and not clear, and you could be clear and not inspirational. The combination, the balance of those, the best communicators in the world balance creating clarity around where we're going and who we need to be along the way with inspiration for them to want to do it. So when I say it's a collection of people who are focused on a goal, that's the clarity. And they have mutual hype, that's they're all mutually excited and passionate about what we're doing here together. Now, that doesn't mean they won't have disagreements. It doesn't mean they won't have to solve challenges. That all comes with growth.
That's but life.
That's life, right? Just take a marriage, take a partnership, take a community of neighbors. I mean, we have to work through things if we're growing together. So I don't view conflict and challenges as a bad thing. I actually think it's an indicative of growth. I think if you have no conflict, you're actually not growing. And I would rather have a little conflict and be growing than be stagnant and no conflict.
You mentioned marriage. I mean, I've been married for just over 40 years, and my wife, Lynn, we, like every married couple in the world, have conflict, but here's the one thing that she has. She has my back. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a team that's got each other's back,
yeah,
that's golden, right?
It is. 100%. Yeah. But that comes from trust, and trust comes from communication. That's where we trust people who have communicated well with us, and we believe them, and they walk that talk. And so we learn to trust them.
I want you to take a second, Catherine, and talk about what you do and your coaching. You coach teams, you do retreats and things like that. By the way, folks, look at your local dental society. I would not doubt that Catherine is coming to a local dental society near you. Go onto her website. I want you to talk about what you do. You talked about what we should do. Talk about what you do and what your team does at Lion Speak. And then I want you to give out your contact information, because folks, if you are not feeling comfortable with your leadership style or your communication with your team and even with your patients, and you don't feel like things are going right, you don't feel like everybody is aligned to the same vision and the same goal, you're the leader. I can't tell you, Catherine, how many doctors that, well, you know, I'm going to let the office manager do this. I just do the dentistry. It doesn't work that way. So talk a little bit about what you do at Lion Speak, and then I want you to give out your contact information.
Yeah, great. So we have a couple of a la carte services. Right now, you know, I spent several decades doing full practice management consulting. I no longer do that. I have a lot of great people I refer to, but I don't do full practice management consulting any longer. The good news for our dental clients is that I understand that world. I understand block scheduling. Right. I understand how to read their P&L. And then for many years, the last 15 years or so, we have done communications coaching both on a patient service level and a leadership level. We have solely focused, starting the beginning of this year, on team and leadership communication. So how we offer it is in a couple of a la carte services, and then we have a mastery program that combines them all together. So one of our a la carte services is a team retreat. You refer to it. It's often referred to as a team calibration retreat. And the idea of that retreat is 1 or 2 days, depending on what we're trying to accomplish and the size of the team. We come to you and pick a location in your vicinity where our goal is to help the team calibrate itself to the leader's future vision. And when I say vision, I mean specifically, what are we building? We get granular on that. And then align with their cultural standards. What are the cultural expectations for behavior? How we communicate, how we show up, how we look, how we act, how we speak, all of those things. So that package includes time with the owner, as you would expect, virtually, to get them clear on those things, to create the documents that we need. And then we come in and facilitate their presentation of that. and the team's alignment with it. It is a remarkable couple of days. It is remarkable. And we have clients that do those retreats with us year after year after year. They do it every year. And we come and facilitate that with their team.
Doctors, I will tell you, I probably get 5 to 10 solicitations every week or 2 weeks of people who want to be on this podcast. And I am very, very, very picky. And I have known Catherine for 20, 30, I don't know. I've known everybody forever, but I've known Catherine a long time. And I just know that what she teaches will change your practice. And again, I don't have to sell her. She's nationally known name. But Catherine, if someone is interested in talking to you about what you do, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, I'll give you my contact information. I'm also going to give you a little code that if someone wants to join our second a la carte option, which is our Leadership Academy. It's a virtual academy. We teach 12 lessons over 12 months. We have a new cohort. We limit it to 20 professionals in each cohort. We have a new cohort starting in April 7th. And that teaches those three conversations plus a lot more. Onboarding, how to run meetings professionally, how to train your people, all of those things. It's an amazing curriculum. And we love the Leadership Academy. So if anybody's interested, they can go to lionspeak.net, not .com, lionspeak.net/academy. And if you use the code LA505, LA505 for Leadership Academy, $505, it will reduce the price by a little over $500 and you can join us, you and your leader. So it's great for owners, great for managers, great for people that you want maybe down the road to put into a leadership position, but they need some training ahead. This would be perfect for that. And then if anybody's interested, we have a leadership mastery that combines both the academy and it includes a retreat as well. We have a lot of clients that just opt for leadership mastery. So we'd love to do that. And you know, Art, on our website, people can subscribe to our Monday morning stretch. I've been writing that article every week, every Monday morning for the last 23 years.
I love that Monday morning stretch.
Yeah.
As opposed to Monday morning quarterback.
Complimentary, and we'd love to have you join us. We have over 10,000 subscribers, and we always generate great conversations between us about, you know, whatever I'm writing about.
So. All right, let's get back to, I got so much to talk to you about in so little time. Second part of team. I mentioned this earlier. A team has your back, makes your wins sweeter and your struggles lighter. Talk about that.
Well, don't they? I mean, a great team is going to celebrate well together, but they're also going to make those struggles lighter. Meaning, if someone brings up something, we're not brushing over it. A new team I worked with at the end of last year, in their meeting, someone would say, well, what about this? Or this didn't work well last month, or, you know, and here's what I think we should do about it. And someone else would say, well, that's never going to work here. We tried that before. And then they would drop it. And what ended up happening over time is there was tons of underlying resentment, tons of unwillingness to create or find a creative solution and contribute that. And so we had to go in and correct that culture and create some trust and safety in there so that people felt not only safe to bring up some ideas or challenges, but also that they had a structure for how to do it so that we actually got somewhere
so
with
important.
It.
Yeah. So important.
Yeah. So that's what that really means.
And also, Catherine, this process that you go through with teams and helping them to create this culture and to create this environment, it tends to weed out the people that are just not on board, doesn't it?
It does. It doesn't mean you'll never have to let someone go and part ways. But if you follow this leadership conversation trifecta, most people that aren't in alignment opt out. They deselect themselves most of the time because most people who aren't in alignment don't want the pressure. They don't.
Right.
Because when you're coaching someone in our clients, every single employee is always and forever in an active coaching agreement with their manager.
Yep.
Always and forever. So when they master something, then the next question is, what's next? What's next? What's next for you? What else do you want to
get
better
excited.
At? And there's always something that we're coaching them on because when would growth ever stop, right? So, yeah. So, I mean, they deselect if they don't want that ongoing conversation about the same things, they deselect. So,
okay. Last part of team. This is my favorite. Finally, it's unity, trust, collaboration, and sometimes inside jokes and coffee-fueled brainstorming sessions that feel like magic. Now, I've heard coffee has many benefits, but I didn't know team building was was one of them, you know?
So yeah,
talk about unity, talk about all these things, but how do they put a bow on this team thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I want to make sure that teams are having fun. Fun is not our primary goal of our work, but the younger generation, boomers were a little different. I'm a boomer, I can say that. Boomers are a little different. We didn't expect work to fulfill needs like fun and joy and, you know, it was get the paycheck, get the watch, and then go home and have your fun. But the younger generations, like it or not, younger than the boomers, don't want work-life balance. They don't even want to talk about that term. They don't want to balance two lives. They don't want to have two lives. They want one life. They
right.
want one life that feels as good to go to work as it does to come home, right? That feels as good to come off a vacation as to go to vacation. And so
right.
they're searching. They don't know quite how to create it, but they're searching for companies that are interested in having work fulfilling, interesting, collaborative, and fun, and really impactful. And there are ways to create that culture, and it isn't as hard as most people think. And so luckily, if you make environments more fun and satisfying for your employees, it also gets that way for you as an owner and as a manager. And so, you know, imagine if you're, I just spoke to a potentially new client yesterday, and she said, I'm managing all of these. She's got 15 on her team. She wants to grow. She can't imagine adding more to her plate. And I asked her if she had considered a leadership level. And she goes, oh, that just seems like so much more work. And I said, well, what if I told you that there was a way to do it where it wasn't more work? It was a different way to work, and that someone else could get those people trained and coached up so that then all you have to manage are those managers. The only people you have to manage are those managers. Those managers are capable of growing and managing everyone else that reports to them. She said, my life would be amazing.
This episode is brought to you by Bank of America Practice Solutions. If you are thinking about starting or growing your dental practice, we would love to help you take the next step. Email us at dg.connect@bofa.com, and we will send you a free business plan template that is perfect for starting the conversation about your future practice. Bank of America Practice Solutions has the expertise, the resources, and the support for your success. Don't wait. Email dg.connect@bofa.com today. Hey, it's Art Wiederman here. You know I don't recommend products lightly. I only share solutions that can genuinely impact your practice's clinical outcomes and bottom line. That's why I really want to tell you about InterView. They've developed an FDA-cleared technology that measures internal tooth mobility, something that traditional methods just can't detect early enough. Here's what that means for your practice. You can identify cracks and loose restorations before they become emergencies. That means better treatment planning, fewer surprises for your patients, and more predictable case acceptance. InterView integrates right into your existing workflow. No complicated processes, just clever diagnostic information when you need it. If you've been looking for a way to elevate your diagnostic capabilities and strengthen patient trust, book a demo at interview.ai. That's interview.ai. Mention my name and you'll get $250 off. That's Interview AI, interview.ai. Oh, yeah. I remember, Catherine, when I started my career in the 1980s, I think, which you said you did too, I worked with Dr. Jim Pride and Dr. Phil Whitener, and they had this little pyramid that said, doctor manages team, team manages office. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So let's get a little bit into leadership now, because I want to cover a bunch of stuff with you. As far as leadership goes, how does a leader create a positive, accountable culture?
Well, I ask audiences all the time, raise your hand in a minute if you want to work on a team filled with people with these qualities. They are people who are problem solvers. They are critical thinkers. They are independent thinkers. They are positive in their attitudes. They are loyal to your office, to your brand, to the team. They are good at their jobs and always wanting to become better at their jobs. And I always add in, they are accountable for their actions, for the quality of their relationships, and for their results and their mistakes. Who wants to work on that team? And there is never a hand that is down. And no. I say, can I raise both my hands? That's the team I want to work on. That's the team that I want to build for myself. And that's the team I want to be on. And so accountability isn't about not making mistakes. Here's what I know about clinicians. This includes male and female. There's no distinction there. But people who are drawn to dentistry, to dental hygiene, that are drawn as clinicians, typically, of course, there are exceptions, but typically their personalities love fine detail. And in terms of being a dentist, right? And it's probably the same brain as an accountant or an engineer or an architect. They're drawn to the love of fine detail. And so that is who you want in your mouth. You want someone who pays attention to small detail and wants it to be right and perfect. That's the clinician I want as my dentist. They struggle. That same personality struggles with making an environment safe to make mistakes and grow. If people are growing, they're experimenting. New verbal skills, new systems, new ways of doing things, new efficiencies, new technology. They're experimenting. And when you experiment and grow, you are going to stumble a little bit. You're going to make a few mistakes.
It's not perfect.
No. And I have to help leaders understand how to manage this in a way that we still have quality control. We're not accepting less than quality, but we are allowing for people to grow. And so there is a way. I mean, of course, people can't keep making the same mistake over and over and over again. No. But even, I mean, I always ask in the group, who's ever one day in their life been late to work? Ever just one day you've been late to work? And again,
I've never been late to work, by the way, just so you know.
Is that right? Yeah. Well,
I'm obsessively early. It drives my family
most
crazy.
Most people have. Most people, even if they're obsessively early, will get in some traffic jam that caused them to not. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that we're not perfect. And so if someone was late to work and walked into my morning meeting and did not acknowledge it, that would be different than someone walking in and saying, I am so sorry. I absolutely know that I am late and it will not happen again. Or here's what happened and I'm on it, right? And they are on it and they do fix it. And I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to give a nod to the humanness that just walked in my room. What I'm not going to do is give the same nod day after day after day after day and resent them and blame them. If you are tolerating bad behavior and behavior that goes against what you are wanting, that's not anything about the other person. That's all about the leader. Their inability or unwillingness. And I understand the inability and unwillingness. If a conversation that we've had in the past doesn't go well multiple times, we stop having that conversation. So I'm suggesting that maybe that didn't go well in the past for you because you didn't have a good framework. And it is absolutely learnable. It is learnable.
On a high level, and maybe this is redundant, how do leaders think and how do they speak? I don't know if we've covered that yet or not.
Kind of covered speaking, I think. I mean, I haven't given my framework, but you know, they find the frameworks that work and they trust those frameworks and they use them. And they should be simple because I'm going to tell you, in conflict, you don't need 17 steps to solve this issue. You'll be lucky if you remember my 4-step process. Right. So when emotions are high, it's hard to, you know, complexity's not your friend. But let's talk about how leaders speak. We divide our program into mindset, skill set, and tool set. So always we start with mindset. And I often sort of humorously say, you're going to think the next hour, you're going to scratch your head and say, did I sign up for a leadership program or did I sign up for personal growth? Because this is getting ready to sound like a personal growth seminar. Because guess what? It is.
It is.
Leadership is an inside out job. You can't hold someone to a place you've never been. You can't inspire them to a place you've never been inspired to. So we have to have agency over our emotional reactions. We have to have the ability to control our responses. We have to show, you know, when my boss met with me, he said, the very first thing I want to do is apologize to you because I have actually been frustrated with our relationship and the quality of our relationship as a dentist and assistant for quite some time. And I have told everybody. I've taken it home to my wife over the dinner table multiple times. I have talked to other people on this team. I have taken it to my colleagues at the study club and complained about it. But the one person I haven't talked to was you. because I didn't know how to do it, because I don't want to lose you, but I can't work another day like this. And so he was basically modeling for me the behavior he wanted me to do. He wanted me to step up. He wanted me to take responsibility for my results and my shortcomings and my lack of commitment and my lack of growth. And to do that, I don't know that he was strategic about it, but we help people be strategic about what piece of this could you take responsibility for? Now, it might not be the whole thing. You're not the one that's late to work, but right. Have you tolerated them being late to work for the last month and not said something? Well, own that piece. Say, you know what? The very first time you were late was a problem for me. But I didn't speak up. And I want you to know that I get that you're not a mind reader. And I get that it's my responsibility to make sure that everyone is clear the standards that you've signed up for if you continue to work here. And I want you to continue to work here. And if you do, and it works for you, these are the standards that you have to meet. So mindset is everything.
I also remember, Catherine, because I led a team for 33 years as a CPA. We had 10 people and they all looked to me. And, sure. And I always like to use the term, you know, folks, here's my plan, but I can't do this myself. I need your help. Is mm-hmm. there anything wrong with saying anything like that?
No, not at all. I mean, people want us to be transparent, real, and vulnerable. What they don't want is lack of clarity. Right? So I say to my owners all the time, because the one part of the retreat we can't do and won't do is the presentation of this future vision and the presentation of the values. We're not the owner of the business. So that needs to come from the owner. But we support and coach the owner prior to that. So when they get there, they're ready. You know, they feel strong, they feel ready, they feel equipped to do it. And I tell them all the time, you're going to lay out this vision. You don't have to know how you'll get there. And you can say that to the team. I'm not exactly sure. We're going to create a strategic plan. We are very open to your ideas. Here's what we're not open to. We're going here. I'm going here. I own this business. I want to do more implants and I don't want to see kids under 12. I want to be off of insurance or I want more insurance. I want to have an associate and I want to work 3 days a week. I'm not asking you.
Yeah.
You don't own the business.
Right.
I'm telling you, this is what I want. Now, how we're going to get there, that is up for discussion, right? And I'm very interested in your ideas and I absolutely will need your support and your buy-in. And anybody who remains on our team, that will be the litmus test is, do you buy in to helping us get there, right?
And I may, as the leader, Catherine, say, you know, I want your ideas, but I think it needs to be clear that I may not take every one of your ideas and implement them because I'm the leader.
I'm going to tell you, Art, that my team would tell you that's how I operate. When we have a meeting, which we do once a month, and I meet with my business manager every week, and when we meet, I absolutely know with 100% certainty, they would say the way Catherine leads us is she decides the direction, and then she asks us for input. And we feel safe to say, I think that's the wrong plan, Catherine. I think that's the wrong idea. And here's why. Because I'll say, tell me more. Tell me why. And they'll tell me. And I'll say, well, what would you do? Well, I would do this. I think this. Or this was what I would tweak. Or this is, I wouldn't go that direction at all. And they know that I will hear them out. I will be curious. I will ask questions. I will really explore it. And I might even say, I want a day to think about that. And then I will come back. My job is to take all of that, make a decision. And most of the time I make the right decision. But sometimes I've had to come back months later and say, you know what? You were right. You were right.
And that's part of running a business. There is no business owner in the world who can get up and truly say, I've never made a mistake. I've never made a bad call.
Yeah,
there's no way. Okay, I got a couple more things.
I believe that really about vision. You know, like I had a vision 25 years ago to be a consultant that I reached a point where I was like, I don't want to be a full practice management consultant anymore. There's one slice of this I love the most. Can I do that full time? Right. And so we did for 15 years, we did full communication, patients, and team. And then 15 years later, I'm like, you know what? What I really love is just this mini slice. And so, you know, I'm 65. So, you know, I mean, for the next 15 years, I'm going to go this route. And so our visions for our companies change over time. You learn a new piece of technology. You do something and you're like, wow, I thought I was going to love mentoring a bunch of associates, but it's really a headache for me, right? Or whatever it is. And so it's okay to change your mind. And that's why we recommend that leaders have this retreat with their team a minimum of once a year. And sometimes it's, you might have five of them, 5 years in a row that you say, yep, nothing's changed and keep going. Nothing's changed in the vision. But all of a sudden, you know, COVID, right? And suddenly now we're like, oh, well, now we're thinking differently about what we want to do and how we want to spend the next 10 years.
I had a vision. My vision was I wanted to be a professional golfer and win the Masters. That vision went away very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But anyway, one or two more things. As human beings, Catherine, you and I both know that lots of people are conflict adverse. I am. I'm getting better. I'm 66. I'm getting better. It's a struggle. Talk about making agreements with team members and what happens when an agreement is broken. That's a big one.
Yeah. I've heard it said that all upsets, all conflict and upsets are boiled down to one of two things. Either there was never an agreement and there needed to be, and we need to create one, or there was an agreement and someone broke it. So if you think about the conflicts in your life and work, it is likely it will fall into one of those categories. Either you didn't have an agreement and you need one, or you did and someone broke it and you need to discuss, are we going to keep that agreement? Are we adjusting that agreement? Can we recommit to that agreement? What do you need to recommit to it? Like, or are we not and we're going to part ways? Like, what is it? And so the time you arrive to work is an agreement. But you know what's so interesting? We have a framework that are the four reasons why people don't do what we want them to do. And the first reason that people don't do what we want them to do is they aren't clear. We always think we're clear. So I will ask, that doesn't mean it happened. And so I will ask audiences, raise your hand if you believe that if your whole team is here or other members of your team are here, raise your hand if all of you could give me independently the same answer, a cohesive answer to what time is on time in your practice. And I have yet to have a team in the years I've been asking that question to dental audiences, have one team. They think, they raise their hand and then I say, okay, what time is on time? I'm a new employee and I'm just asking, what time do I need to be here to be considered on time on Monday morning? Here's what I typically hear. Well, we have a meeting about 10 till, need to be here for the meeting. So I say, if I walk in the door about 10 till, am I on time? And another
about
team member will say,
10 till.
Yeah. Another team member will say, no, it's not 10 till, it's a quarter till. And someone will say, we've never met at a quarter till. And then that person will say, well, that's because no one's here at a quarter till, right? And it goes round and round and round.
Not on the same
and then
page.
I say to the audience, so the number one reason why people don't do what we want to do, it's not the only reason, but the number one majority reason is we think we've been clear and we have not. And that's a broken agreement. It feels like a broken agreement to us, but in fact, the responsibility sits with us because the reason that that feels like a broken agreement is that we were never clear in the first place.
Never
and if you
clear.
Doubt it, test it. Show up on tomorrow morning and say to the team, I want you to write down on a note card, don't say it to anybody else, what time do you need to clock in to be considered on time in this practice? And watch, if see if you get a cohesive answer from 15 people.
Not likely.
Not likely. And so what that gives us is an opportunity to explore how can we be more clear? How can we test our clarity and how can we do that? So when people break agreements, I always say, let's go back and check the first three boxes on the four reasons, because the first three boxes are, were they clear? Were they trained and supported? And are they capable? Are they intellectually capable, emotionally capable, physically capable? And if you can check all those boxes, yes, I was clear because they repeated it back to me and they were right. Yes, they're trained because I observed them doing it and I know they know where to document that in the chart, right? And yes, I know that they're smart enough to do it and they're physically capable to do it. And they're still not doing it, it would be the fourth one. The fourth one is they're not willing.
That's not a good one.
That's not a good one. And that's on them, right? But what I find, Art, is we go to the fourth one before we ever check the first three with have to do with us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense.
Those are some of the things we teach.
I love this. Last thing I want your comment on, and then we'll put a bow on this. When I ran my business, I have always learned that I can teach skills. I can teach someone how to do bookkeeping. I can teach someone how to prepare a tax return, but I hire attitude. What do you think about that?
Well, hiring's an interesting topic right now because we're in a tight labor market. And the predictions, as you saw from our friend Kevin Henry, are pretty abysmal for the next 10 years, certainly for the next five. And not only is the employment pool shrinking, but those that are in the pool are going to be demanding higher and higher salaries. So get ready,
Fortunately, Dennis,
and employers in general, but particularly dentists and dental managers, you will be paying more. Kevin says, it's not a possibility, it's a probability. quality.
Yes.
And so retention is everything. And what we know from these younger generational workers is that culture is everything to them. Now, you might not think it's unimportant, but I'm telling you, people will not be as tempted by $2 more an hour down the street if that means they have to leave a team they know and trust and love, and yes, that they feel aligned with them. They feel connected with them in a mutual vision and a mutual set of standards. And they feel that the company cares about their growth in their career, cares about their happiness level at work. I'm telling you, if you don't get this on your radar, you will lose your people to $2 or more an hour on the street. You will.
You're absolutely right, Catherine.
You know, we hire for attitude for sure, but keep them with your attitude.
Well,
keep
I'll tell you what, I have been in dentistry 41 years, and one of the joys, as I've told my audience over the last 7 years I've done this podcast, are all the friends that I have made along the way. And I consider you a friend. You are such a gift to the dentists of America and the profession, and what you teach is so, so important. So one more time, doctors, if you are having communication issues, if you're struggling with what a team is, if you're struggling with your culture and your practice, give this nice lady a call. Catherine, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, going to the website's a great way, lionspeak.net. You can send an email to info@lionspeak.net, and we will get right back to you and see how we can help you. And then again, you know, you can see where the Leadership Academy and the retreats and all of that are right there on the website. So we'd love to help you. If you want to call, old-fashioned 800-595-7060, 800-595-7060. And Art, I'm going to send you a download for the four reasons that you can put into the show notes so that people can have that.
Oh, yes. I'll make sure that they get that. Yeah. I would love that. That'd be wonderful.
But if they miss it and you want to shoot us an email and ask for those resources or happened, happy to share them.
No, that's fantastic. Catherine, stay with me as I take the podcast out. First of all, folks, thank you for the honor and the privilege of your time. Please be sure to check us out and like us on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. This is all so much fun for me. And the thing that I love most about it is I'm giving back to the profession that allowed me to have a career for 41 years. I want to thank my wonderful sponsors, Bank of America Practice Solutions, my home team, the Academy of Dental CPAs. I helped form that group 25 years ago. It's our 25th anniversary. This is the official podcast of the ADCPA and Interview. Again, please like us. Thank you for watching. And that is it for this episode of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.